www.attableek.com, The Reviver of Iman.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن نظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين صدق الله العظيم. Somebody said in the Urdu language, Hazar kaam hai daag dunya mein karne ke, jo log kuch nahi karte hai, kamal karte hai. Hazar kaam hai daag dunya mein karne ke, jo log kuch nahi karte hai, kamal karte hai. There are 1,000 things that needs to be addressed and done urgently. I fail to comprehend how people can say, I don't know what to do. I fail to comprehend how a person can find himself idle doing nothing. لا خير في الدنيا إلا لرجلين. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, there's no good for anyone to inhabit the planet but two people. رجل أذنب ذنبا فهو تدارك ذلك بتوبة ورجل يسارع إلى الخيرات ولا يقل عمل مع تقوى وكيف يقل ما يتقبل. There's only good for two people. Number one, رَجُلٌ أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا. Someone who had succumbed to a wrong and done some vice, and each one of us is guilty of it. So, أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا فَهُوَ تَدَارَكَ ذَلِكَ بِتَوْبَةً. Now he's trying to make amends and atone and expiate and compensate for his wrong. He made a mistake, guna ho gaya usse, ab toba ki koshish. So that's good. Inhabiting of the planet is meaningful. And the second person is رَجُلٌ يُسَارِعُ إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. A person who hastens towards virtue. If you study the Quran, you will realize Allah has given us two separate injunctions. Allah has impressed upon us to do good, and Allah has also impressed upon us to hasten towards good. We mustn't hasten in the execution of good. We must hasten towards good. There's a difference between the two. Hasten to the masjid. Don't hasten in performing salah. Yani masjid ki taraf jaldi kare, namaz mein jaldi na kare. Farq hua. Allah has constantly told us in the Quran, fas'u ila dhikrillah. Rush, advance, hasten. سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Compete with one another towards the pardon of Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Run towards Allah. These are different expressions of the Quran. Somebody said in حِلْيَةُ الْأَوْلِيَاءِ, it's mentioned, Inna akyas al-kayyis. Inna akyas al-kayyis. Man dakhala al-jannata bi-dhanbin amila. The most intelligent person is he who enters Jannah because of a wrong that he did. The most intelligent, the most wise, the most calculated person is the one who goes into Jannah because of a wrong. So how can you go to Jannah because of a wrong? نَسَبَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَزَلْ حَذَرًا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْخَطِيئَةِ حَتَّى فَارَقَ الدُّنْيَا. He committed one wrong, لیکن اس کے بعد اس کی آنکھ ہمیشہ کے لئے کھل گئی. He opened his eyes. I made a mistake. I burnt my fingers. I will never repeat that mistake again. لَا يُلْدَغُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مِنْ جُحْرٍ وَاحِدٍ مَرَّتَيْنِ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer is never bitten by the same snake twice. Once bitten, twice shy. کہ جب ایک مرتبہ ایک سانپ نے اس کو دس لیا, اب زندگی بھر اس نے سبق سیکھ لیا. In English they say, we never make the same mistake twice. The first is a mistake, the second is a choice. The first is a mistake, the second is a choice. First time you slipped up, second time you knew what you were going into. So that's a wise man who made a mistake and he learned a lesson of life. That one wrong, and because of that it inspired him to do good until he died. وَإِنَّ أَحْمَقَ الْحُمُقِ مَنْ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ دَخَلَ النَّارَ بِسَيِّئَةٍ وَإِنَّ أَحْمَقَ الْحُمُقِ مَنْ دَخَلَ النَّارَ بِحَسِنَةٍ عَمِلَهَا. And the most foolish person is the one who enters hell because of a virtue. He ended up in Jahannam because of one good. Why? He did one virtue, he made one i'tikaf, he performed one prayer, he did one hajj, he did one virtue, and then he became complacent. No, that's good enough for me. I've done adequate. I've rescued myself. And he feels that's fine. I don't need to motivate and inspire myself. So he became lax in the performance of good deeds. Hatta yatahawan bidhunub. And he started performing until he passed away. I was just reading the other day of Ahnaf ibn Qais. He was a great scholar. There's amazing things about him. I'll share with you two incidents. One day a verse of the Quran flashed through his mind. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. Indeed we've revealed to you. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ to you كِتَابًا, a book, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, in which your remembrance has been mentioned. So he said, عَلَيَّ بِالْمُصْحَفْ, bring the Quran, حَتَّى أَلْتَمِسَ ذِكْرِي. So I can see how Allah has mentioned me in the Quran. So he started reading. فَمَرَّ بِقَوْمٍ, he read past an ayah in which Allah says, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. They slept very little by night, they would get up early and then they would engage in repentance. He said, no, لَسْتُ مِنْ هَؤُلَىٰ, out of modesty I am not from amongst these people. He read through another verse of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who when they become angry, they forgive. Their matters are mutually decided amongst themselves. They establish prayer. He said again, modestly, I'm not from amongst them. He came to a third group of people in the Quran that Allah described. يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. They spend in ease and adversity. They spend in ease and adversity. وَالْكَظِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ, they subdue their anger. They subdue their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they forgive and they overlook. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah loves the pious and the noble. Again, modestly he said, I'm not from amongst them. He passed by another group in which Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. That when they are told, bring iman on Allah, they become arrogant and obstinate and they don't accept. He said, Allahumma inni bari'um min ha'ula. Allah, I'm not from amongst these people. He came across another group of people, the occupants of hell, may Allah protect us when they will be hurled into hell. Ma salakakum fi saqar, what got you into hell? Qalu lam nakum min al-musallin. We were not amongst those that prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُنْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not feed the poor. And that's what I want to tell you in this tour of mine. He is raising awareness for orphans. I was 2 weeks ago in Indonesia. And we know currently the tsunami that has struck there. And I was doing some relief work in with the victims of the quake. And I can safely tell you, and this is and just prior to that, alhamdulillah, I was in Hajj, and I mentioned this in Hajj. Our one day accommodation, when we're traveling, or we're transiting in a hotel, or we're in Mina, or we're in Arafat, by Allah, our one day accommodation today for ourselves is more lavish than what refugees are spending their entire lives in. Go and see their daily life. When I'm traveling with my family and we're just having a transit hotel at a motel or on a camping, the elaborate arrangements for one day that you and I have has more arrangements in it than what people are spending their entire lives in. One place we went, and the whole drive is for orphans, but this thing in particular hit a sore point with me. So as we were distributing aid, we came to a locality. So the brother said, Sheikh, can you see this notice? I said, yes. He said, do you know what's written here? I said, no. He said, it's written here in the local language. Please, we don't have any money. We request nobody to come sell candy, chocolates or ice cream. Don't make our children cry more. We don't have money. It hit my heart with the cap of a father on my head. Anyone who's a father knows how he or she wishes to fulfill the needs and the desires of their child. I cried to Allah at that moment. We were on the top of the mountain in a remote village in Lombok. 2 weeks ago, I'm talking fresh. And this is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when you ask Allah something sincerely, Allah will give it to you. Whatever you ask Allah, in my heart the thought came, Ya Allah, can you arrange for me to give ice cream to these people? And I'm like right on the top with the group. And trust me, minutes thereafter, a brother is riding away with his scooter selling ice cream. And I said, Subhanallah, I stopped him. I told the local brother, negotiate with him. He took a good price for his ice creams, but good luck to him as well. And I said, I need to empty whatever you have. And then they said, start distributing. In my life, I'm in the house of Allah. I've never seen a 60-year-old woman jump with joy for an ice cream more than how our 6-year-old child will jump. And how long can an ice cream soothe you? 5 minutes, 3 minutes in the heat, about that, and that's it. And you know what was the challenging thing? As I'm distributing and trying to reach the child and the elderly, till it was depleted, and the last orphan looks me in my eyes. How do I reconcile with the eye of anguish in that child to me? How do I face my Allah with that when I continue with my life? مَا كَانَ لِأَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَرْغَبُوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. It doesn't befit the people of Medina and those living alone around Medina. أَنْ يَتَخَلَّفُوا, that they remain aloof from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The verse was referring to the incident of Tabuk. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes out in the expedition, and Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu, he had two wives. They had prepared some food for him in the orchard. قَدْ رَشَّتْ كُلُّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَرِيشَهَا. Sprinkled water. بَرَّدَتْ فِيهِمَا. Chilled water and prepared food. And he said, I'll go spend some quality time with my wife and children, and then I will go and join up with the Prophet ﷺ. He's about to enter into his own orchard. And I keep on saying, today's young man, with the carnage in the world, the crisis in the world, is dining with a haram woman. He's popping a pill. He's having a bottle of alcohol in his hand. This is pure, this is legitimate, this is permissible, this is lawful. But there is a crisis at that time concurrently happening in the world. And the Prophet of Allah is out in an expedition, it's extremely hot. He's about to put his foot in his orchard, And then there is a whisper from within him. And these are the pious. Muhammad ibn Sirin said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ خَيْرًا جَعَلَ لَهُ وَاحِبًا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ يَأْمُرُهُ وَيَنْهَى. When Allah intends good for a person, Allah activates his soul. So whenever he intends doing something wrong, his soul sends him distress signals. What are you up to? Think, pause, halt, watch your move. He gets these messages. Unfortunately, we get messages to comfort us, to appease us. No, it's fine, it's okay, there's nothing wrong. Everybody's doing it. What's so wrong with it? These are the kind of whispers we get. These are the kind of messages we get. So we feel good about ourselves. We insulate ourselves with these own slogans. So he's about to put his foot in, and he says, مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فِي حَرٍ شَدِيدٍ وَأَبُو خَيْتَمَ فِي ظِلٍ بَارِدٍ مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ. Allah's Nabi is in heat, in challenging situations, and I'm sitting soft here in comfortable environment. This is just not on. This is just not on. It cannot happen. So he tells his wife, I'm not coming in. I'm not coming in. You know, if a woman prepares food and you don't eat it, what happens? I'm sure that you go through the same. She's prepared with passion, with desire. Not that you're avoiding the meal, but now she's anticipating and you don't. Obviously, it can create a bit of domestic turbulence. And he says, no, I'm not coming home. And then he gets on his horse and he gallops it. And the Prophet ﷺ sees a horseman coming. Kun Aba Khaythama, kun Aba Khaythama. I think perhaps, probably, this is Abu Khaythama. Kittu an ahlik ya Rasulallah. O Prophet of Allah, I was on the verge of destroying myself and Allah rescued me in time. I said to myself, now when I was in Lombok, when we distributed aid and we tried to help, and this is what I keep on saying, we cannot help everybody, but everybody can help somebody. We cannot rescue the planet. That's the reality. The crisis that's happening across the globe continues, and that's in the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But everybody can help somebody. There's a verse of the Quran, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. It's the opening verses of the 12 Jews. Allah says, there isn't a soul or a creature on the earth, but that Allah is liable for its sustenance. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. This is amazing, in Kashaf it's mentioned. And Allah knows its temporary location and its permanent abode. So mustaqar is a firm place, and mustawda' is a temporary place. Now, the scholars of tafsir have explored multiple potential meanings of the temporary and the permanent. In Kashaf, there's a beautiful explanation given. Is one is where a person is based by his house and when he's traveling. So his house is more of a permanent place, while when he travels, he's on the run, he's moving, he's hopping. So Allah is liable for the sustenance of every soul, and Allah knows when a person is based where. Allah gets the sustenance to him at his respective destination. Now the question is, how do we reconcile the declaration of the Quran and the statement of the Quran against the death of thousands of people in the globe out of hunger? Every day on the Horn of Africa, every day in the crisis, every day in war-torn regions, people are dying out of hunger. And Allah says that He has taken the responsibility. And the scholars say the answer is very simple. Allah has taken the responsibility and Allah has put a system in place. He has given some wealth and He hasn't given others. And He has given those who have the wealth the responsibility to pass their wealth over to others. If they are failing, then that doesn't infringe or go against the declaration of the Quran. That is a default of humans. So a father is gone out, he makes his eldest son responsible, pay the bills, take care of the utility bills, food, fees, etc. Someone phones, listen, you've gone out and you're not taking care. No, somebody has been put in charge and money has been left behind. He's embezzling the funds, he's exploiting it. He's responsible, he's matured, he's not executing his task. The declaration of the Quran stands. It is you and I that have defaulted. Some of us have decided to live a life of luxury and comfort with no borders and limits, the pain and the result of which is others are deprived of their basic necessities. That's the price others are paying in the world, because unfortunately we've decided that no, we need to just upgrade and move on and on. Anyway, let me share with you one amazing incident. Kehte hai na, insaan apna libas badalta hai, apna ghar badalta hai, dost badalta hai, phir bhi pareshan kyu rehta hai? Kyunki khud nahi badalta. Insaan apna dost badalta hai, apna libas badalta hai, ghar badalta hai, phir bhi pareshan kyu rehta hai? Kyunki khud nahi badalta. Zindagi bhar yahi bhool karta raha, dabbe chehre pe tha aur aina saaf karta raha. Right? You change in your life, you change in your location, you change in your home, you're trying to upgrade and get a better life, but you're still not having the inner peace because you're not changing yourself, you're changing your environment. Almost like a person who has a scar and pigmentation on his face and is cleaning the mirror. Cleaning the mirror, but the issue is on your face. Dappa chehre pe hai aur aina saaf kar raha hai. Like, how is this going to help? It's not going to help. The thing is, I need to make the change. And wallahi thumma wallah, the most fulfilling thing is to take your zakat, take your donation and go out and give it physically to a person. That joy is a different joy. So when we gave the ice creams out, I sat there. Said, let's go, chef. I said, no, let's sit and look at them. Not in their eye, but just to see that sense of joy. You remember when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was in Medina and those people were hungry, and Sayyidina Umar used to patrol. One day a caravan came from outside and they halted. So he said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Hallaka an nahrusahum al-layla. Can you join me? We will monitor them and just leave them to, you know, do what they need to. So Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, perfect. Imagine Amirul Mu'mineen, and this is how his nights were. Fabata yahrusan wa yusalliyani ma kataba Allahu lahuma. So they stood on guard. Now, for them, guard and monitoring was not like sit there and you know what, we will probably chit-chat, nabili marhan, nabati aibi, nadebi, napancha. No. It's not chit-chat and gossip. So let's alternate. I pray, you guard, I pray. Wow. Wallahi, if something has paralyzed the world today, is futile time. We just waste our time. When I landed yesterday in Dubai, so the plane landed slightly far from the terminal building. And then we had to hop onto a bus and then get to the terminal building. So I took out my iPad and I said, let me read Quran. And in that little while, comfortably, I read half a juz of the Quran. And I said to myself that there's so much time we have if we want to make time. Our pious predecessors were those that they used to keep two engagements, and between the two engagements, they used to find time to do something else. Wasting time has paralyzed us, destroyed us. If the youth can sleep early and rise early, that would rescue the planet from much of the chaos. If the youth can sleep early and rise early, that's it. The pagan Arab was gripped by three maladies amongst others. Mustakbirina bihi samiran tahjurun. I'm not going into detail. Mustakbirina bihi, they had pride over their services they rendered to the Kaaba. Bihi, the marjaya, is to the Kaaba. So they served, they were custodians of the Kaaba, they were serving, which is great. But the Quran frowned on their arrogance. And I often say, the arrogance on worship is worse than the arrogance over wealth. Yani jisko apni ibadat pe naaz hona hai, wo to maal ki naaz se bhi khatarnaak hai. Jisko apni ibadat pe naaz ho. Muhaddith Masruq said, kafa bil mar'i ilman an yakhsha Allah wa kafa bil mar'i jahlan an yu'jaba bi amalihi. Aadmi ke alim hone ke liye itni baat kafi hai ke wo Allah se dare, aur aadmi ke jahil hone ke liye itni baat kafi hai ke usko apne ibadat pe magan ho, ghurur ho. Like, I'm great, I'm amazing, I've done it all. That's enough to prove you arrogant, you ignorant. And if you fear Allah, that's enough to prove you have knowledge. And Mutarrif ibn Abdullah ibn Shakhir rahmatullah alayhi used to say, لأن أبيت نائما وأصبح نادما أحب إلي من أن أبيت قائما وأصبح معجبا. I would prefer spending the entire night sleeping, not Fajr Salah, missing out Tahajjud. I'm going to qualify that statement. I spend the entire night and I don't engage in Tahajjud, and I get up regretting that I didn't offer Tahajjud, than spending the whole night in Tahajjud and getting up in a way thinking I'm better than others. One man got up for Tahajjud and then his son got up and he said, "Dad, but he's sleeping. He said, "My son, if that's what you're doing, then you also go and sleep. If that's what you're doing, then you also go and sleep." Right? Nigahe ayab giri se jo dekha ahle alam ko, koi kafir, koi fasik, koi zindig akbar ta. Magar jab ho gaya dil ihtisab nafs pe ma'il, hua thabit ke har farzand adam mujhse behtar ta. Nigahein aib giri se, when I looked with the eye of criticizing, oh, he's a delinquent, oh, he's a deviant, oh, he's an apostate, oh, he's a victim of intellectual apostasy, oh, this guy is a hypocrite, oh, this guy is evil. But then I decided to refocus the lens on myself, and lo and behold, when I looked at myself, the stench my body was giving off, I realized I'm the most wicked to inhabit the planet. What did Sayyidina Ali say to Hassan radiallahu anhu? He said to him, "Man absara ayba nafsihi, shaghala an aybi ghayrihi." The one who focuses on his own weaknesses won't have time to look at the wrong of others. وَمَنْ حَفَرَ بِئْرًا لِأَخِيهِ وَقَعَ فِيهَا. And if you dig a hole for someone else to fall, you'll fall in it first. وَمَنْ نَسِيَ خَطِيئَتَهُ إِسْتَعْظَمَ خَطِيئَةَ غَيْرِهِ. And the one who forgets his own wrong will inevitably magnify the wrong of others. Look at how evil he does. What they say in English, don't judge people simply because they sin different to you. They sin different to you. So you sin and they sin, it's just we sin different. Why judge them? Like, where are you going with it? Anyway, there's this amazing incident. So I was telling you about how did they spend the night? Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Sayyidina Umar performing salah. And after a little while, there's this child crying. And really, wallahi, there are orphans crying across the globe. If you have the ears, you'll hear it. We have the ear that can hear the beep of a phone. And sometimes we hear the beep when it didn't beep. But we cannot hear the adhan that's been sounded. It's because we don't want to listen. In English, they say, none can be more blind than the one who doesn't want to see. None can be more deaf than the one who doesn't want to hear. I'm sitting in Medina like 4 weeks ago before Hajj. In the Masjid an Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm looking at the green dome and tears are trickling down my eyes, and I look to my right and I see a brother here. From his expression, from his facial features, he looked like an Indonesian. And then I looked at him and I said he was visually impaired and he was blind. And I said to myself, oh, shame. The brother is here but he's not here. He's here but he cannot see. And immediately Allah put a counter thought. Sympathy and empathy is not really for him. Sympathy is the one who's blind with his heart. Because Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum was a visually impaired Sahabi. He was blind. But he was in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if a man is blind by heart, he wouldn't even desire to come to Medina. And today that's what paralyzed us. The blindness of the heart. Ibn al-Jawzi said, a believer never fears the death of his soul, because he knows that's decreed and ordained, he cannot tamper with it. But he fears the death of his heart, because that's something he can do, and something he can undo. Like, so much happening in the world, and I'm still having my same passions and hopes and desires and dreams and ambitions. There's no change in the priority of my life. That means my heart has died a death. My heart has died a death. I'm still driven by the same concerns. I'm still, you know, intrigued by the same fantasies. When so much is happening, this chaos on this earth. So Sayyidina Umar is like patrolling, and then he hears a child crying. So he goes up and he tells the mother, "Please, would you lull your child? It's night and people are sleeping." So she says, "Okay, brother." She doesn't know she's talking to Amirul Mu'mineen. Right? That was a time back in the days where the man in power was knocking the doors of the ummah to query about their well-being. And trust me, my brother, tahajjud is amazing. And self-ibadat is amazing. But reaching out to those that are victims of crisis and winning their heart, that joy is something else. That pleasure. وَاغْتَنِمْ دَعْوَةَ الْمُبْتَلَى Abu Darda said, and value the dua of the affected person. Between his dua and acceptance, there's no barriers. So time goes, and again the child is crying. So he goes back and he says, إِنِّي لَأَرَاكِ أُمَّ سُوءٍ Listen, you look like an evil mother, man. Like, we want to sleep, you need to take care. So she said, brother, you don't understand my crisis. You know, in English they say, don't put people in their place. Put yourself in their place. Wow. You know, I'll put him in his place. Don't put people in their place. Put yourself in their place. When somebody does something wrong, don't rub it in, rub it out. You know, you say, rubbing it in. Oh, yeah, chalach kar hai bhai. Then attach. Put yourself in other people's place. Don't judge people for the decisions they make when you don't know the choices they have. Wow. Don't judge people for the decisions they make when you don't know the choices they have. These are the only choices on his table. Financial restrictions, other commitments, other limitations. And like, why did he do this? Who's he to? You don't know. Put yourself in his place and then see the world with the different eyes. Who are we to judge? So the woman said to Sayyidina Umar, Inni udarribuhu ala al-fitam. I'm trying to wean my child off, but he wouldn't get off. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, but sister, why would you want to wean your child off? You're traveling, you're in Medina, you're in a camp, you're in a tent. You don't wean your child off at this time. It's challenging for the mom and for the child. Because for the mom it's a detachment, right? It's a bond with the child, the mother and the child for the nursing, suckling, lactating period. It's an amazing bond. It's one of the most amazing unions on earth. That's why when Allah speaks of the intensity and the horrific nature of Qiyamah, Allah says, يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ Leave anyone fleeing from another, a mom will leave her nursing child, her lactating child. So if the bond between these two will be terminated, where will the bond remain between any other two? So why would you want to, like, at this hour, you know, make it? لِأَنَّ عُمَرْ لَا يَفْرُضْ إِلَّا لِلْفَطِيمِ Because Umar has only allowed for an allowance from the state, from the Baytul Mal, once a child has been weaned off the chest of his mom. And I need the money, so I'm trying to wean him off so I can generate that revenue. Whoa, this was like a spear pierced into the heart of Umar. These were people, when they were told, boom, it hit them off. لا تعجلي يا أختا. Oh my sister, don't do anything, just stay like that. He leaves, he starts crying. The narration is authentic. He leads the Fajr prayer. لا يستبين الناس قراءته من غلبة البكاء. People couldn't understand what he was reading because of how he was crying. After prayer, he stood up. He said, "O people, you call me Amirul Mu'mineen and you call me Umar, but honestly, a more befitting name for me is a murderer and a butcher." And then he says, بُؤْسًا لَكَ يَا عُمَرْ كَمْ قَتَلْتَ مِنْ أَوْلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Umar, because of your misjudging and because of this one thing that you put in place, which women are weaning their children off earlier than time, how many innocent children have been deprived of the milk of their mothers? And then he amended the legislation and he said, as of now, the state will provide an allowance for every child from birth. And this is it. They took action on themselves immediately. He's at the borders of Medina and Syria. And he's returning. And so he sees an elderly woman there. You know, there's another narration that comes to my mind. I'll share that and come back to this. One day Umar is moving with his entourage. So this woman stops. Khawla bint Tha'labah. She tells Umar, stop. So Umar halts. And she says, Umar, I knew you when you were a kid. And people knew you as a shepherd. Then they knew you as Umar. Then they knew you as Umar the Great. Now they're calling you Amirul Mu'mineen. فَاتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَا عُمَرُ. Umar, fear Allah. Let not the glamour and the glitter of today make you forget your beginning and make you forget your ending. If we don't have anybody to keep an eye over us and to advise us and to discipline us and admonish us, then what would happen to our ego? So anyway, she said to Umar, asked her, "Sister, do you know Umar?" She says, "I heard about him, but may Allah destroy him." It's authentic knowledge. May Allah destroy him. Today, that's treason, my brother. That's treason. How dare you say anything nasty? That constitutes a violation. This is saying it to the head of state directly. That was an error. We have moved away from the mark of the era of Nabuwat so far that now we grapple to even reconcile with that in theory, leave alone in reality. Like, really, could you do things? Was it real? Did it actually happen? Or really? I can't believe this. We've gone so far off. Says, now Umar is on the minbar. He's giving a talk. He has two pieces of cloth. He says, "Ya ayyuhan nas, isma'u wa ati'u," oh people, listen. Salman Farsi is in the gathering. He said, "Umar, we're not listening. La nasma' wa la nuti'." So he said, "Salman, why?" He said, "Because from the national treasury, we all got one piece of cloth and you got two. My mind is running in different directions. Why did you have two? So rather put my anxiety to bed, then I will have transparency, then I'll listen to you." So he said, "It's a legitimate question." He said, "Abdullah ibn Umar, beta idhar ajao. These were our days. These were our rulers. These were our leaders. Abdullah, come here. Say." He said, "I gave my dad my cloth and the one cloth is his." He said, "Al-an nasma' wa nuti." You can resume. Now we're listening. Now we're listening. Yeah, those were the days. So that was the days where there was happiness and there was joy. Anyway, he said, why do you dislike Umar? He said, "Because he hasn't done anything for me. He hasn't done anything for me." So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "But Umar is in Medina. How does he know what's happening to you on the borders of Medina and Syria?" She gave a simple answer. If he doesn't take the trouble to keep himself informed of the average citizen in the most remote part of the Islamic empire, then he doesn't deserve to be the leader. Simple as that. Chapter close. If he doesn't take the trouble, then he doesn't. It hit his heart. He brought her to Medina. He then took care of her. She said, "You more deserving to be the leader. You more deserving to be." Said, now Umar radiallahu anhu used to go and he used to come by night and care for one elderly woman. So Abu Talha said, one day the whisper came in my heart, late night, early morning, "Umar, come in here, what's happening?" So I sat bil mirsad in ambush and I'm watching. And I went inside, I find there was an elderly old woman. Umar would come and clean the entire house, attend to her domestic chores before anyone in Medina was up. And then I said to myself, "Thakilatka ummuka ya Talha, a'afarati Umar tatatabba?" Woe be to you, admonishing himself. Are you trying to probe the flaws of Umar ibn Khattab? Are you trying to probe the flaws of Umar ibn Khattab? So my time is running out. I'm saying there's a crisis in the world. My opening comments, that there's so much happening, how can a person not do anything? Sadly, we haven't gone out to do what we're supposed to do. Allah gives us opportunities where people come to our door and come and give us the opportunity to take the responsibility, to take the responsibility and somewhat assist those. In the Quran, Allah has not only frowned on those who do not donate, Allah has also frowned on those who do not encourage others to donate. كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ. I was in Malawi in a neighboring African country and I went to visit an institution, only blind children, my Allah, living in abject poverty. You wouldn't pass that facility for sighted children, leave alone blind. If you had to inspect that, and I'm not saying anybody else, just lack of resources, lack of amenities. And I started crying, and the brother is like, Sheikh, are you fine? I said, yeah, I'm too emotional. I'm just too emotional. And then I went to the kitchen area to inspect that. You would pass on the meal if you have to sit on a place like this here. These are all blind individuals and all orphans. I'll leave you with this last incident. I was in Albania, and the call is to respond to the orphans. So we did some relief work. Remember, a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, my heart has gone very hard. He said, do two things. Imsah ra'as al-yateem wa at'amil miskin. Sit more with the orphan and feed the poor, and your heart will be soft. Chapter closed. Today you want to take yourself out of depression. You want to read a book. You want to pop a pill. Just go to any place in the world where there's a crisis and sit there for 10 minutes and see life. I promise you it will take away your depression for an extended period of time. Feel it on the ground. It's a different feeling altogether. I see now in Lombok, people got nothing, no home, completely destroyed. So one place we went, we offered to put up 10 tents. But there were like 200 families there. So they said, if you're going to put up the 10 tents, how are you going to allocate and designate those tents to 200 families? I said, no, well, that's a tough one. So they said, if you cannot give everyone a tent, then use the money for 10 tents and build us a masjid. Subhanallah. Anyway, we're in Albania, in a place called Elbasan. So we wrapped up and we're on our way back. They said, let's just stop. There's this orphanage. I said, please, let's go. Orphans. If orphans were close to Nabi alayhi salam, then they are close to everyone. If they were close to our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they are close to me and you. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took care of them while he was alive. And post his demise, he left behind such teachings that the ummah takes care of them. Sayyidina Ali said, there are two types of orphan. لَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّذِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. One is the orphan who's lost his biological parent, and one is the child who has both the parents but has no adab and value. He's also an orphan. And really, if you look at the world today, the entire world is orphaned like that. The entire world. Half don't have parents, and the others have parents, but there's no values. There's no respect. There's no mannerism. There's no etiquette. There's no respect. There's just no sense of moral behavior. There's just no fabric left in the society. So anyway, we get into this orphanage. Whoa, this girl's cry gives me shivers till tonight. Till now I go through it. So we walk in, there's young girls here and boys here, all orphans, right? So they said, will one of the learners please tell the chef a little bit about this place? It's a place called Elbasan, which was subjected to severe communism for half a century. And very harsh communism in the Balkans. But anyway, the one young girl stands up, right? And she says, I broken English? I said, yes, my sister, you talk broken English. I 4 years, my father died. I'm in the house of Allah. My father died. My mother, dialysis. You know dialysis? I say, yeah, I know dialysis. So my mother very sick. Me, no religion. No religion. But the institution you give money, open madrasa here for orphans. My whole day very sad. But when I come and I make sajda, that time, my happiest moment in my whole life. My hair is standing on. I rotate my eye. There isn't a dry eye. Everybody is just flooded with tears. It's just trickling down. This girl is saying her happiest moment, like my whole life, I didn't have a sajda like that. Allah is giving her a sajda. The magicians in the time of Musa, when they came and they dropped their staff to challenge Musa, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. If you linguistically, grammatically dissect and analyze the word ulqiya, it doesn't mean they went in sajda, it means they were dropped. Alqa yulqi ilqa. In other words, they were riveted, they were spellbound, they were like, what's this? And they were dropped down. And Ibn Kathir says, those magicians in that sajda, Allah showed them paradise and hell. And Ibn Kathir says, don't judge anyone. Because those magicians who came to challenge Musa in the morning, they were disbelievers, they were opponents to the Prophet, and they were magicians. And in the evening of that same day, they were believers, they were Sahaba on Musa alayhi salam, and they were martyrs. In the morning, and that was the metamorphic change in the company of a Prophet. And then they said, say a few words. And I found myself often in these crisis zones where I've been asked to say a few words. Time is up, so I'm not going to speak more, and I'm going to end here. And our honorable colleague will take it from here. I find it very difficult because as a visiting scholar, they ask you to speak, but when you look at their crisis, they inspire you more. What do you say to this girl? Now the whole class is like this. You're wiping your tears. You've seen this child. You're wishing your child could be here to take a lesson and understand and appreciate where they're going through and what she's valuing and treasuring. And they say, say a few words. And they insisted. So I just put my head down and I said, Ya Allah, you inspire me. And Allah put a verse in my heart. And that's what I read to her. And I read to all those orphans. And there's nothing that can comfort you more than Quran. I said to her, my young girl, I say to you what Allah said to the greatest orphan. Alam yajidka yateeman fa'awa wa wajadaka dhalan fahada. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did we not find you as an orphan and did we not shelter you? Nabi alayhi salam went to Medina, which was known as Yathrib, to visit the grave of his father. That's the authentic narration. The muhaddithin say Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's father Abdullah passed away at the age of 18. Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's father. This variation of narrations, 18 is one of the authentic views. He's buried in Medina. So Amina radiyallahu anha took Nabi alayhi salam with Umme Ayman. Umme Ayman was the slave girl of Nabi alayhi salam's father. When Abdullah passed away radiyallahu anhu, she became the slave girl of Amina radiyallahu anha. When Amina radiyallahu anha passed away, she became the slave girl of Nabi alayhi salam. They went to Medina to visit the grave. Nabi alayhi salam is a child. He's standing at the grave of his father. I cannot imagine this year. The greatest human's childhood is being shaped in this way. And as they come in back, in the dead desert between Makkah and Medina, the will of Allah. I would think, you would think, probably, maybe, perhaps, if destiny and fate had it that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned to Makkah, his mother got settled, and then his mother passed away. But the decree and the destiny of life is in the dead desert between Makkah and Medina, Allah orders for the soul of his mother to be removed. So can you imagine this innocent, beautiful child in that desert? And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mum is gone. So I comforted her. Anyway, the appeal is here to respond to an orphan. When I did the little work we did in Lombok now, and we helped orphans and other victims, and I came back to my hotel, and then I said to myself, when I opened the shower and I started having a hot shower, I said, Nafaqa Sulaiman, Nafaqa Sulaiman, Nafaqa Sulaiman. Hanzala radiallahu anhu left the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he went to his family. And he said, Hanzala, you're a munafiq. And that was modesty on his part. He was the greatest of sahaba. I said to myself, I'm a munafiq. And how true. We go, we cry, we sit, we hug, we hold. And it's not like once night hits, the night falls, like, okay, I see you, I got to go back. I need a soft bed, I need a hot shower, I need a lovely place, I need a good meal. Allah forgive, we have difficulty spending a night. Wallah, go in the world and you will see that our one night camping trip, our one night transit hotel is more lavish than where people are staying. So here's your opportunity to reach out with one orphan. I urge each one of you to make a commitment. Allah is allowing the opportunity to come to our door. If we don't exploit it, then who do we blame? Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina.
It's very difficult to speak after Maulana Saab and also my Ustad as well. But listening to Maulana made me remember our times in Dars. I'm sure Maulana Talha Maulana and Maulana Uthman can relate as well. But like Maulana has mentioned extensively, that the need is huge. And right now the door of opportunity is knocking. And Islamic Relief is here, which, as we know, has become the biggest Muslim charity organization in the world, offering sponsorship for 10,500 orphans around the world. Not only providing food, health, education, shelter, but making it a means for their survival in the most dire circumstances and situations. My dear respected brothers, I won't take much of your time. Isha time is close. We are standing here today to appeal that today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the chance, tomorrow He may not. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to listen to the crises about orphans all around the world. Tomorrow we might not get that chance. And that's why the appeal is now, there are brothers standing in the back, that who is ready here to give $50 a month, and you can sponsor an orphan, which will provide them their food, their health, their education, water. Who is ready here, if you raise your hands, for 4 orphans, that they are willing to sponsor 4 orphans that will provide for them and their family, inshallah. Raise your hands, my dear respected brothers. That who is ready in this crowd, from the brothers of Cambridge, to provide for the brothers and sisters around the world that no longer have their father, no longer have the shade of their mother, have no one to take care of them, that are yateen, that are blind, that are going through extreme situations that you and I can only dream of. MashaAllah, one brother in the back. Allah accept.
MashaAllah.
Allah accept and put barakah in his wrist.
Ameen.
Who else is ready, my dear respected brothers? 4 orphans. This will go a long way. Another brother. MashaAllah. Allah accept.
MashaAllah.
Allah accept. Who else? We need 5 brothers. 3 more. Another brother here, brother.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah.
Allah accept it from us, inshaAllah. 3 brothers. 4th brother here. Well, last brother. One brother here. MashaAllah. 5 brothers.
MashaAllah. When somebody donates, let us encourage. Let us motivate. When we see our children, when they attend in a school class or something, people clap hands and they give an applause and everything. When the Prophet ﷺ and Sahaba used to donate, when Sayyidina Uthman came and donated in Tabuk, Nabi ﷺ said, وَهْوَا بَخِّنْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ يَا عُثْمَانِ مَا قَدَّمْتَ وَمَا أَخَّرْتَ وَمَا أَسْرَرْتَ وَمَا أَعْلَنْتَ وَمَا أَخْفَيْتَ وَمَا أَبْدَيْتَ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Uthman, Allah forgive your minor, your major, your past, your future, you, your family, your progeny till Qiyamah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. That all Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accept their donation and make dua. So let us say inshallah and mashallah for those that are giving. Let it motivate us. Mashallah, brothers.
More brothers, inshallah.
Mashallah. Mashallah.
Allah put barakah, inshallah. This will go a long way, my dear respected brothers. You know, Ustad used to tell us also in class, Shaykh Sulaiman Mullah, that even a person who gives sadaqah, where does this even come from? As we know in Arabic, or most of us will know, that Arabic has 3 original root letters. And if you look at sadaqah, the root letters come from sidq, from being truthful. Why? Because when a person sacrifices what he loves for the sake of someone else, to help someone else's need and alleviate their distress, then this person is true in his proclamation and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love that wealth. Everybody does. And we have a need for it. We have our homes, we have our cars, we have our children, we have our bills. Everybody knows, living in Canada, the difficulties that we go through. But if we can give that small little sacrifice for them, it will go a long way. My dear respected brothers, now 4. Who is ready to sponsor 3 orphans, inshallah? Who is ready to sponsor 3 orphans for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Lord will provide for them help. Raise your hands, inshallah. Don't be shy, my dear respected brothers. The brothers are waiting here, inshallah, whatever we can do to help. One brother is here, inshallah.
MashaAllah.
Allah accept. Who else, my dear respected brothers?
Who's the brother?
The one in the blue shirt. Blue shirt, one of the blue shirt. Who else is ready, my dear respected brothers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept.
MashaAllah.
You know, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of Uber drivers also in Cambridge, and Lyft drivers, and so on. If a person takes one Lyft drive all the way to the airport and comes back, this will provide enough for even one orphan, inshallah. Whatever we can do, we should have this mentality, that what can I do to provide? You know, I live in Oshawa, very far. I came here to meet the blessed community of Cambridge, and Umair told me a lot about it, mashallah, and it's a very generous community. But even where I live in Oshawa, one street away from me, there's a brother there, mashallah, and he does a lot of charity work and whatnot. And he told me that one of the rules that we implement within our home, and I'm not saying you implement this in your house, but it's a means of inspiration. It was a means of inspiration for me. But he says, at the end of the year, my children come together, and I used to make it mandatory upon them that half of their toys, of what they love, what they have that attachment to, they would give it away as sadaqah. And subhanAllah, his own children started doing this. First, they were forced. But eventually, he told me after 2 years, they would come themselves to their father and they would say that these are the toys, these are our best toys, and we want to give it to them. My dear respected brothers and sisters, this is the time where we have to do. And we have to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we don't have to give those toys and whatnot, but whatever we have the attachment, we give it. Who is ready to sponsor 2 orphans, inshallah? MashaAllah. Allah
accepted.
Allah accepted, inshallah.
I was in Melbourne like 10 days ago on a lecture tour. So we were having a talk with some scholars and ulama. So some local brothers were mentioning, he was mentioning an amazing thing. He said some families there that have moved from different parts of the world, you know, from their native countries, what they do, every 2 years, they take their children back to their roots and make them spend 3 months there to make them appreciate the life of those back home. And he says that proves more beneficial than taking them on a recreation or a holiday. So we take them back to Somalia, we take them back to India, we take them back to wherever we come from, take them in the rural areas, let them see, let them witness, let them understand what life is all about, and then come back. He says, unfortunately, it doesn't last too long, but at least they are disciplined for a period of time. And honestly, we need to have some measures like that in place.
My dear respected brothers, there shouldn't be one family left in Cambridge where they have not sponsored one orphan for the sake of Allah. Right now, 10,500. I forgot to mention, sometimes a few people, even when I came in, a brother was asking, how is the money used, how is the money dispersed? So I'll just mention it, that alhamdulillah, Islamic Relief has a very unique situation in the way that they deal with the orphans. Not only do you just give your money and forget about it, but as soon as we donate towards this cause, automatically we get an email and we get a report on this orphan, the physical, mental health. Who is the guardian? Where do they live? Who is the caretaker? And within that vicinity of 15 kilometers, there are social workers that are hired from Islamic Relief that constantly are checking on those orphans as well to ensure that the guardian and the wakil is making sure that he is spending the money correctly on these orphans. If a person wants to actually visit this orphan, if a person is in the same country where that orphan is living, Islamic Relief can make it such where we can arrange for the person who is donating and sponsoring the orphan to actually meet them in person. So this is a unique opportunity, like Sheikh just mentioned right now, where we can actually take our children and meet them. So who, my dear respected brothers from amongst us, is ready to sponsor one orphan every month, inshallah, for the sake of Allah, for those orphans in Yemen and Gaza and Syria, all around the world. MashaAllah, one brother there. One brother here,
mashallah. Allah
accept.
MashaAllah.
We can encourage, inshallah. Who else, my brothers? Over there. Jazakallah, mashallah. Who else, my brothers? Every person should be able to sponsor one orphan. $50 a month. Just a little bit of sacrifice of Tim Hortons, coffee, French vanilla, and whatnot will go a long way. Whatever we can do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One orphan, inshallah. Who else is ready? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one in the back, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everybody's effort. I know the time for Adhan is going to be in 2-3 minutes. If anybody does not feel like they want to do it openly, then inshallah, Islamic Relief is outside. And even after Isha Salat, we have the debit credit card machines, donation boxes, whatever we want to do in order to help those in need, inshallah, we can do it. Jazakumullah khair wa ahsan.
Let's leave before I make dua. They say, between the hope, between the regret of yesterday and the hope of tomorrow lies the opportunity of today. Between the regret of yesterday, oh, in my yesteryears I did. And that's the beauty of Islam. I keep on saying this here, that Allah is so kind. Allah is so kind that Allah has not limited entry into Jannah with one action. So every person that will enter into Jannah, may Allah make us amongst them, will have a different action that attracted Allah's mercy. You could be boarding a common flight, people are sitting in a common class and a common cabin, business, economy or first class. They enjoy the same perks, comfort, or probably subjected to the same challenges. You know, I often say, someone said, sum up all your travels, you travel so much. So I said, see, life is short. But an economy flight is long. I said, that's my analogy of travel. Life is short, but an economy flight is long. And travel is an affliction, but first class is the mildest form of it. Anyway, that's besides it. People are sitting in a common cabin, but every person pays a different price. You booked early, you booked late, you booked a saver, you booked a plus, you put a flexible, you booked a non-refundable, you booked this, whatever it is. You're in the same class, but that doesn't mean everyone that is in Jannah is in the same level of Jannah, but each one's got a different action. Allah loved the way he was to his neighbor, and that attracted Allah. Allah loved the way this man was taking care of an orphan, and that impressed Allah. Allah loved this man the way he smiled towards people, and that attracted Allah. Allah loved this man, how diligent he was in performing his salah. So the beauty of deen is that Allah has opened it up to so many actions. And to spend is such an easy way. It's such an easy way that it doesn't take much of commitment from us. Imam Shafi said, وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ عُيُوبُكَ فِي الْبَرَايَا وَسَرَّكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهَا غِطَاءُ تَسَتَّرْ بِالسَّخَائِ فَكُلُّ عَيْبٍ يُغَطِّيهِ كَمَا قِيلَ السَّخَاءُ. If you've done a lot of wrong, and you really want to expedite your growth and your spirituality, your quickest, safest way is charity. It will camouflage and conceal your wrong, and it will earn you the proximity of Allah. So when the whisper of good comes, don't suppress it. That's all I'm saying. When the whisper of good comes, don't suppress it. Either you won't live to the next moment, or the tawfiq will not come at that time. استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم وعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك، ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك، لك الحمد كالذي نقول، ولك الحمد خيرا مما نقول. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اجعل أولادنا أبرارا أتقياء، ولا تجعلهم جبارين أشقياء. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم ما قصر عنه رأينا ولم تبلغه مسألتنا من خير الدنيا والآخرة، فاجعل لنا منه أوفر الحظ والنصيب. وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله.
جزاكم الله.
www.attableek.com, the reviver of